Welcome to week 7 of Doctor's Answer Light, the modified fasting program. This week's topic is fat as a protective covering. You may be thinking, how can fat be a protective covering? Last week, we talked about how, because of trying to solve emotional issues with food, we may become fat. But this week, we want to look at how we may stay fat because fat, in and of itself, can act as a protective covering. It can give us a more comfortable persona to play, or it can afford us protection from painful experiences. Let me explain. By defining myself as the big guy, the earth mother, the teddy bear, the fat jolly one, the comedian, and so forth, I can easily slip into a stereotypical role to which society has given a positive spin, at least on the surface. Because of the positive associations these roles possess, I can justify more easily and accept my being overweight. Santa's fat and jolly, right? Being in a stereotypical role affords me the luxury of not needing to deal with the issues that compelled me to become fat in the first place. Identifying with that fat persona actually sidetracks me from the task of exploring what is really going on with me, what is really eating me. Do any of you see yourselves in any of these roles? Second, being fat can be an adaptive response to a past negative experience, one involving physical or emotional trauma, sometimes with sexual overtones. Some people have had, unfortunately, very painful experiences, which they are often unintentionally avoiding. They do not want to repeat an experience and unmask underlying pain. If they look closely, they may find that much of their lives involve a pattern of thoughts and actions, that is, a pattern of behavior chains, that are attempts at pain avoidance, rather than effective steps towards building a more fulfilling, joyful life. An example of this is known as chastity fat, where people, especially women, gain weight and remain overweight as a shield to defend themselves from the attention of members of the opposite sex. So being fat equals no attention from the opposite sex, equals no possible negative experience, equals feeling safe. Or the extra weight keeps people from having to face rejection, because if they feel that if they are fat, they are out of the dating and mating game. So being fat equals no attention, equals no rejection, equals no pain. Being overweight can then be unconsciously used to remove me from situations which might lead to repeating painful experiences. In addition, the fat itself can serve as insulation against painful feelings which I already carry. If I carry an inner burden of unresolved or unhealed pain from past negative experiences, my excess weight can serve to insulate me against feeling the intensity of that emotional pain. Even when I have no repeat negative experience to unmask this pain, the insulation fat which I am carrying helps me to avoid feeling fully this underlying current of pain on a day-to-day basis, and perhaps without me being aware that this insulating process is even occurring. Again, it is not necessarily that the pain is as deep as that produced by having been violated, abused, or severely neglected, although this may be the case in some instances. And keep in mind that such deep-seated issues cannot be resolved in our group discussions and may require other approaches such as personal therapy in one form or another. And let me be clear, not all overweight people are dealing with such deep-rooted issues. Some people have just gotten into poor habits of caloric self-care. Yes, they self-medicate with food, but for the most part, it's an attempt to address less emotionally intense needs and circumstances. It might be as straightforward as something in our lives being out of balance that needs to be recognized and dealt with. For these people, there may be less work to do, but something is eating them, and their use of food is serving some purpose for them. Now, this may be the hardest thing to realize and accept, but years of experience have shown us that there is something eating everyone who eats for purposes other than true physiological hunger. Discovering and acknowledging the truth within your own heart of what's eating you, however deeply rooted it is the key to finding the solution to your weight problem. And note that when we start to meaningfully explore these issues, when discussion takes place about deeper-rooted, more emotionally intense life circumstances or problems, often what we call resistance occurs. Resistance is a person's understandable unwillingness to look at a situation. As a general rule, when there is resistance, there is work to be done. So this is what happens. As the coping mechanism of excess weight is lost, a lot of resistance occurs because the negative experiences that are now exposed are so painful to acknowledge. If I have not yet come to grips with this past experience, I may, simply by successfully losing weight, find myself overcome by a rush of emotional intensity which I cannot understand or would rather not deal with. It's too painful. Staying fat keeps me from having to deal with this pain because of past negative experiences. So be aware that we are perhaps not only avoiding the reoccurrence of experience that caused the past pain, but also doing all we can to avoid the unresolved pain from some past experience that may exist just under the surface. And the eating of food helps me medicate painful or distressing feelings as they are being noticed. It's no wonder that some modified fasters may feel distressing emotional intensity from time to time. Since I am on the modified fast, food is gone as a mood-altering agent. And now my insulation is going away too. If I have been trying to feel safer in life through the use of my protective covering of fat, I will need to develop assertiveness skills to protect myself in direct, more effective ways as my insulation decreases. Now, to understand this more clearly, we can use a wire analogy. Think of a wire that is well insulated. Due to the layer of insulation, one cannot feel the electricity running through the wire. However, as the insulation is peeled away, the current is now more exposed. In our analogy, that exposed emotional current is what is eating you and what you would like to avoid thinking about. Because you have insulated yourself from an issue, and the emotional intensity that's associated with that issue, when it reemerges, you will naturally want to avoid the distress of dealing with it, and this results in resistance. As we said earlier, when the insulation is lessened, threatening emotions can be more exposed, and we may turn to defense mechanisms such as resistance in order to try and protect ourselves. Be on the lookout for resistance in your group meetings. Some examples of resistance that we may encounter are resistance to dealing with certain topics or using tools offered in the program, resistance to participating in group, or even resistance to staying completely on the modified fast. Confrontation of resistance is difficult, but it is the job of the group to respectfully confront resistances so that they do not remain defenses. Some people may not always like what they hear being pointed out. Things that they need to consider. But the good news is that where there is resistance, there is an opportunity for growth and positive, healthy change, which is, after all, what we are all seeking. So know now that when we bring up an issue and someone starts to get uncomfortable or even bristle about it, this means that we are getting closer to their inner burden, that is the real heart of their food dependence problem. And that inner burden would rather remain in the dark than be brought out into the light and resolved. Do not ignore the fact that weighted down people use food to bring pleasure or take away pain. Perhaps what we said in orientation weeks ago will take on new meaning for you now, and that is that long-term weight management means we must lose weight from the inside out. The good news is you will be pleasantly surprised at how liberating it is just to acknowledge that one may be abusing food as a way to avoid inner pain or bring pleasure. This is a giant step towards understanding what has led to your being overweight in the first place. As you seek this self-understanding, you will undoubtedly encounter resistance. Resistance is one of your main defense mechanisms, but it is not the only one. There are other defense mechanisms we will encounter as well. We call them diversions. Let me give you some examples. Often someone in a group will ask, well, what if my problem is just that I'm a compulsive overeater? Labeling yourself a compulsive overeater is just a diversion to keep your attention off what is really bothering you. It's a defense mechanism, usually unintentional, but it keeps your attention off the real problem of what is hurting in your life. what fear or anxiety is present, what you are really upset about. So as long as you think of yourself as a compulsive overeater, then whatever is bothering you does not have to be acknowledged and dealt with. In the past, you may have said, "I'm a compulsive overeater, so I can't help myself." Labeling yourself a compulsive overeater relieves you of having to take responsibility for your eating behaviors. The reality is that it is not that you can't get through a situation without eating. It is that you choose not to. That is not to say that there was not some real fear or anxiety, but that your choice of how to deal with the fear or anxiety was a controlled choice, a choice to eat. Some of you may have talked in group about times when you said that you were out of control, times when you binged. But we will come to discover that the label of being out of control is also an excuse, another diversion. Because when we come right down to it, you are not really out of control, but always in control. The experience of eating gives you needed pleasure or takes away some pain that you may or may not be aware of at that point. Another example of diversion is feeling shame at being overweight. Shame serves a purpose, and that is to keep your attention off the real problem, what really hurts in your life. You've set up a pattern where, in response to certain signals and food cues, false appetites occur, and you act on them by reaching for food and eating. When you peel away the layers of your pattern behaviors, you will see that in every instance, you are in control and have chosen an unfortunate response to your issues, which is to eat. The good news here is these patterns can be changed. They are just behaviors. But first, you must become aware of these patterns before you can change them. Think about what you learned in your previous lesson on intervening in behavior chains. All of the excuses we used in the past about our eating are the same excuses we may try to use while on the modified fast. Excuses like, "I have no willpower," "I'm a compulsive overeater," or "I'm out of control." Your overindulging with food was, at its core, far from an unsystematic eating behavior. It was very systematic. It may have been unconscious, but it was patterned, planned, and controlled. So remember, control is always in your hand. You're not the victim here. And on this note of being in control, we'd like to introduce some other behavior modification tools or strategies which will help you stay consciously in control. For example, if you're attending a family gathering or event, or even eating at a restaurant, there are several strategies that work well for these types of occasions. Always have a shake just before the event. This way, you're not arriving hungry. There's also the double shake approach. Just before a big family get-together or other event, have a double shake. That's two shakes with 16 ounces of water to be full before you even leave your house. This works well for many. And once you're there, make sure you have your hands full. In one hand, have a glass of mineral water, and in the other, hold the bottle, so that you have no free hands to reach for nibblies as they come around. These are examples of pre-planning strategies, which are also intervention techniques. Remember intervening in behavior chains? Everyone just think about a situation and picture yourself doing something different from your regular past behavior. For example, if you go to your mom's and she always has candy dishes around and you're always grabbing handfuls while chatting with relatives, picture yourself doing something different. So when you get there, you play out this mental rehearsal. Remember, eating that candy is not part of your plan. And notice I said picture yourself doing this, not just thinking about it. There's a big difference. We want picturing, not thinking. We call this behavioral rehearsal and imaging of solutions. And the solution, excuse me, we call this behavioral rehearsal and imaging of solutions to problems before they happen. So create image sequences that provide the recipe for your success. If you have imaged it out beforehand, then it's easier to follow your plan once you're there. Remember, failing to plan is planning to fail. But you won't plan to fail because, as we said earlier, you're in control. You are beginning to understand this phenomenon of self-medicating with food, and you're becoming aware of your own resistance and aversions. So, as we said earlier, you are not the victim here. You are in control. You can do this, and you can be successful. So use your group meetings to help each other to succeed. Best of luck, and enjoy your group.